It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
All righty. It is California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn every Wednesday. Today, earlier, I was whining a lot, so we changed the spelling of Wine Wednesday to W-H-I-N-E. But I'm feeling much better now, and so the hell with it. Let's move forward here with California Wine Country. Dan Berger, my co-host, of course. Daniel,
how are you?
Good, man. Much better than I was 3 hours ago or something.
You had the grumpies?
I did. I was cranky pants. But I'm fine now. Okay. we're featuring Hanna Winery today. The longtime winemaker, Jeff Hinchliffe, is here.
Hey, hi.
How long have you been at Hanna?
20 years plus.
And I can't believe, we talked about this during the break, that you've never been on this show before.
Yeah,
we've been doing it 10 years and doing California Wine Country.
And I've listened to every show except during harvest.
Yes, exactly. And I'm amazed you're able to be here during harvest.
Well, anything to get out of the winery.
Yeah. and we were talking with Carissa Cruz and others this week about it's been a long time. We've had early harvests, late harvests, but it's been a long time since we've had what could be called, I guess, a normal harvest.
Well, normal in some ways. You have to ask Jeff about this. He's got more details on the harvest than anybody who's alive today.
So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, when you're killing snakes, it's hard to even get a real perspective because it's a day-by-day attack, and you don't really have – it's a force for the trees kind of thing. You don't really know because you're dealing with daily with just hundreds of decisions, and you can only really look into the crystal ball so many days ahead. And so it's only really in retrospect that you go, wow, that was a great harvest, or wow, that was a really rough harvest. Like 2011 was the most difficult small harvest ever. And 89 was the most difficult harvest ever. And you certainly, you know, you knew it during those vintages, but really towards the end of them. This one, I've got to say right now that, I mean, we can't complain about the weather the last, you know, week or so. Before that, we were freaked out, and now we're just kind of in a glorious ripening situation.
Right on.
So it looks good. It really looks good.
And the crop is big.
The crop is big. The crop is small. The crop is everything right now. If I had to say anything about this harvest, it's that every day has been unpredictable. Every field's been unpredictable. There hasn't been a consistency in terms of yield. But so far, and we've mostly just spent our time picking Sauvignon Blanc so far, it looks great.
We shall begin with a Hanna Sauvignon Blanc. We're also Rene Bick from Paradise Ridge is sticking around to taste wine with us.
Yes, I am.
And we'll taste a couple of the wines that Rene brought as well. But, Dan, why aren't you pouring?
What? Oh.
How are we going to taste this stuff? Just pass the bottle around?
I'm just looking at it. Here you go. Rene's doing the job.
It was a very reverent stare. I loved it.
Oh, good. Okay. So give us the history of not only – well, let's start with your history, Jeff. I mean, 20-some years with Hanna, geez.
Yeah, so before that, I started the Napa Valley, and I was going to be a brewer.
Really?
I really hated wine in college, and it was either a feat or anyway, I was a beer guy, right? And I went to school to become a brewer, and my major advisor told me, he said, cut your hair and get a job for Anheuser-Busch. There's no future in microbreweries.
Oh, boy. Wonder what happened to that guy.
So I ended up not getting a job at Anheuser-Busch, and I was saddled with student debt and started at Christian Brothers in 1983.
Wow.
And it was really there that I discovered my love for wine after tasting Sauvignon Blanc that I got, I think, at Bottle Barn then. And it was a Dry Creek 79 Sauvignon Blanc, and I just fell in love with the flavors. And from there, I saw old guys in Napa pumping barrels for Mike Gergich when they were in their 30s. They were old to me then. And I said, well, this doesn't look good. And so I decided that it might be better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. So I made my way up to a little tiny winery called Hidden Cellars in Mendocino County, where they gave me an assistant winemaker job, and I learned the basics, botched a lot of wine, learned from my mistakes.
So you didn't go to UC Davis?
No, I went to Davis.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm a Davis graduate. And from there, a friend and I started a small winery, and in the early 90s, we were doing things like barrel fermented Riesling with an Alambic Brandy Riesling dosage, unfiltered.
So, okay, geek alert, Dan.
This is a self-driving wine.
We had one account in L.A.
He's using a yeast strain that, in theory, does not produce typical flavors. And so I don't know how that would smell at this point.
Yeah, so I guess the point of even recounting that is that it's still at Hannah, that if we're not looking outside the box, we're going into the deep state of the box. So we're doing a deep state search in the box, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to the Malbec. And from there, I met with Chris Hannah, and we hit it off and started a fantastic 20 now plus year relationship for a small family-owned and independent winery. So we are swimming with the sharks, folks. There's no doubt about that.
So that was the beginning of Hannah?
No, Hannah started before. Hannah started in 1985. Chris's dad is a retired heart surgeon, and he founded the winery back then.
That's right.
And since then, still family ownership. If anything, we're very nimble. We have the ability to move quickly and act on good ideas very quickly. And I'd say that everything that we produce, we grow. We grow most of the Sauvignon Blanc, but we do purchase some Sauvignon Blanc grapes. Is about creating wines that are delicious, that to me is the most important thing that a winemaker can
do. Hannah's always been a major player in our area here.
I would say major in terms of the quality, but never in terms of volume until fairly recently.
Okay.
Because
the
quality...
I'm talking quality.
Yeah, the quality is really up there. And actually, we have with us today, we've got two of the best Sauvignon Blancs made in America on this table. Because
Paradise Ridge
is right there with this, and they're both Russian River Valley, and that's the secret. If it isn't for Russian River, you can't do this. This is a secret wine. You only go to Russian River to buy fruit.
Okay, this is the Hannah Sauv Blanc. What year?
2017.
Oh, it's a 17.
Yeah, so we get on the market super fast.
Renee, your thoughts on that Sauvignon Blanc?
It's wonderful. And didn't you guys win a couple of sweepstakes at the Harvest Fair for your Sauv Blanc?
Let's see. I don't think I can remember. Yeah, three exactly. Yeah.
You'll have to look it up. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I was getting in the industry, it was one of the wines that I was drawn to and just...
The Hannah Sauvignon Blanc?
Yeah, well, consistency.
Or Sauvignon Blanc.
No, Hannah Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh,
consistency.
Okay.
They're probably winning awards when our winery was starting in the mid to late 90s and or 2000s, and I fell in love with Sauvignon Blanc.
Dan, talk about this Sauvignon Blanc.
This is the most unusual wine in one respect. Is that when you think of Sauvignon Blanc, academically, you think that there are two basic aromatic profiles for this variety, one of which is rare and one of which is common. The common is thiols, and the terpenes are the more floral ones, but you don't often see that. Here's a wine that has both, and Paradise Ridge gets the same thing. You know, it's really unusual how these wines have sort of paralleled each other to become probably the two best Sauvignon Blancs in the county from this standpoint, from this particular Russian River standpoint. There are plenty of other great Sauvignon Blancs, but they offer different perspectives from their regions.
What am I getting from this?
Well, I'm getting a floral quality as well as the terpene component is this almost flowery note, which you don't see You won't see, you know, probably 2 years from now, this will that'll be gone from this wine. But what will take over is much.
So you're
more,
not laying this one down.
You could, and you would get something different. It would be so interesting to see it.
Yeah.
But for right now, you're getting such vibrancy in this aroma. This is exactly what you get out of the Paradise Ridge. You get this out of Hannah. It's Russian River aromatics. That's what you're getting. And
let's
to me,
A-B.
That's the secret.
I just love this. Jeff, thank you.
I love Sauvignon Blanc, and I call it Taming the Green Lion because it's just a huge, huge vine, and it loves the sun. And what we've learned over the years is that this orthodox style of growing grapes, even in Russian River Valley, doesn't work. So if you look at our grapes, like we have grapes right here, and you folks can all see that these are they're very green. And the reason is because we keep them shaded. And this is very much against the orthodox way of growing grapes in California right now, is each one of those grapes is a flavor reactor, and the temperature in which they make these flavors is at a lower temperature than when they're exposed to the sun.
Not to mention the fact that if you want to remove character from grapes, you give them direct sun. That gives you nothing. I mean, direct sun is often aromatic killer.
Yeah,
really?
there's almost a siren call for most grape growers to strip the fruiting zone so they can see their crop and they can get their sprays on. And 10 years ago now, we decided that, you know, there's we're serving a higher master here, and that is the flavor. And it's not about we don't want to farm for safety. We want to farm for flavor, and that's why we really changed the way that we farm Sauvignon Blanc.
Interesting. Let's A-B the two Sauvignon Blancs, Rene.
Yeah.
Pop that stuff.
But I do have a minor disclaimer that we lost our 2017 Sauvignon Blanc, so this is not fruit from our estate. So this is kind of to replace, and our winemaker, Dan Barwick, he searched a lot of places to try to find fruit that had similar quality, but if it's a little different, Dan, than you remember, that would be the reason.
And so...
So this is our 2017 Sauvignon Blanc. We didn't make that much of it. Just because we kind of want to run out of it and roll out the 2018 when we get that in the bottle.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, Renee's doing that. This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn at 521. Don't forget, if you want to hear any episode of California Wine Country, you can go to any place that the great podcasts are offered, and you can go to CalWineCountry.com. Each episode is up there shortly after it airs live. And if you subscribe, hey,
you
got
the word.
I finally got it.
You got it.
Subscribe, and Mike will send you a dollar or something.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't cost anything to subscribe. And then I guess you get it right on your phone or something. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. So let's talk about, now we've gone from the Hannah Sauvignon Blanc 2017.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
That closer to you.
And this is the Paradise Ridge.
Yeah, this is our, now, like I said
where
before.
Where are the grapes from?
Well, we had to buy bulk juice because most of the Sauvignon Blanc was already picked and being fermented. So
the fires happened, you
might
lost
be ours.
Those?
Yeah, well, basically... You know, we harvested all our grapes, and everyone says, oh, that's great. But we harvested them, and they were in a building that burned, and everything was lost in the building.
Gotcha.
So our winemaker immediately tried to secure some fruit that was still hanging. And then the other task he had to do was actually go and find some – you know, we sell Sauvignon Blanc. It's usually a one-year turnaround wine.
Right.
So when we lost the 17 vintage, we needed to replace it with something, and he went out and found it. So this is a Russian River Sauvignon Blanc.
This is much different, I think, from the Hannah.
Quite a bit. It's a little bit more floral in one respect because it's got a little more of that tropical character.
It's a little lighter, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit lighter, but I think that the acid's not quite what you would prefer on your side of it. I love the wine. I think it's really beautiful, and you've done a great job capturing the varietal character. If it weren't for Russian River, you couldn't have done anything close to this.
Yeah. Dan looked around and he tasted a lot of lots, and there's a lot of not as good wine out there. And when he found this, he thought that it would work as a temporary fix. I like the wine. I drink Sauvignon Blanc all the time, and I think, you know, the consumers like it. But we're really looking forward to getting the 18 in the bottle.
No, I'm sure.
Getting that as an example of what we do.
Jeff, are you tasting that?
Yes.
Give me your thoughts on the difference between the two shards and
try to be nice.
Oh, he'll be nice.
So this one to me is more in the mineral flint that Pouilly Fumé kind of style. So I think that's the and there's a little bit different acid structure. It might be a little higher in alcohol, but I think that's the big difference aromatically.
Dan.
Same exact reaction, because there tends to be a little bit more of that Russian River character coming out of the Hanna right now. And one of the reasons that this wine is as good as it is that there had to be a selection made at the winery before Paradise, which would put this in the bottle. There had to be a lot or two that didn't quite make it up to your standards, because this is really not exactly your style.
Yeah, that's what Dan, you know, I don't get involved with the wine making. I'm more drinking of the wine.
Your job doesn't suck.
And you know, it was a difficult thing to try to find something similar to what we had.
I really liked it.
And, well, especially these days when everybody wants Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny for me. I was never into Sauvignon Blanc. The late, great Ben Pearson, my first co-host on California Wine Country, started turning me on to it. And then in all the years that Dan's been with us, we've tasted so many Sauvignon Blancs, and I'm a huge fan.
It's one of the few grape varieties that are white that also show pretty good transparency to the soil. So if you go to Sancerre or Pouilly Fumé, or if you go to the Collio in Italy, and you get Sauvignon Blancs from all these different regions, they all taste different, and they're still Sauvignon Blanc.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn at 5:35 on your Wednesday drive. Our guests today with Dan Berger are Rene Bick from Paradise Ridge. He's sticking around and tasting with us, and Jeff Hinchliff, the long time winemaker at Hanna. You know, you look pretty good for being
105 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying. I'm 99. I don't look too shabby myself. Could I pull that thing off your hat?
No.
It's been driving me nuts.
That's my harvest hat. No. Verboten to touch it.
Okay.
And he, by the way, you notice he has a crush beard. How long have you had that crush beard?
About 100 years.
He's got this thread hanging from his baseball cap.
Well, yeah. Yes, because I am hanging from a thread.
It was driving me crazy. But okay.
It's an untouchable hat.
Bad luck to touch the harvest hat with Jeff Hinchliff from Hanna. Okay, now we're doing a Hanna Riesling?
Yes.
Okay, tell us about this one.
So this is an experiment way up on Cavedale Road on Mount Veeder, on the Sonoma side of Mount Veeder. We have our Bismarck Mountain Vineyard. It's one of the highest elevation vineyards in the county at over 2,000 feet. And primarily, in fact, almost exclusively Big Reds, Malbec Cab, Zinfandel, all the Bordeaux varieties.
Oh, I love this.
But yes, several years ago, I thought, well, you know, California, we're longitudinally challenged. Is that the
That'll work.
Call it geek alert?
No.
I don't know.
Okay. No.
I'm still learning. So I thought, well, maybe we can make up in altitude what we don't have in latitude. That's right, latitudinally challenged. So we thought at 2,500 feet, maybe we'll get something that's unique up there. You know, these are planted on – this is a geek alert. So these are planted on rhyolitic soils. It's the Sonoma Volcanics.
Wait a minute. Rhyolitic soils.
Yeah, so it's
very unusual for the wine country.
That's a band that's playing at Hotmart this weekend.
There. So these are young – volcanic soils that are very rare in Sonoma County and just translate into the fruit. And it's just a magical place. And I thought, you know, if we can make these just immense red wines up there, maybe, you know, and maybe with this, these don't really, one doesn't lead to the other, but maybe we can make a unique Riesling. And so I got some wood from New York State, and we planted a small amount of Riesling, and we've been tinkering with it for the last few years. It's available only at the winery, it's really a labor of love because I've as Dan knows, I've been making Riesling since way back when in small amounts.
Now, just quickly, Jeff, because we have so many new listeners, so many new people to Sonoma County these days, Mount Veeder, explain where that is.
So Mount Veeder is in Sonoma and Napa counties, and so it's above the city of Sonoma. So if you look at Highway 12, like if you're by the racetrack and look way up on the mountain, you can see our Bismarck Mountain Vineyard. And from up there, I was just there yesterday, you can look down, and on a clear day, you can see San Francisco, Mount Diablo, San Pablo Bay. You're above everything. There are 10 million people within a stone's throw, but you're in a completely isolated place. It's really beyond comprehension how beautiful it is.
It's a tough drive up there, but when you get up there, you don't want to leave. It's just gorgeous.
I understand. Dan, talk about Riesling in general, and then let's talk about this one.
Well, Riesling is a grape variety that has lots of aromatics, in particular where it grows on really tough soils. You don't want too much nutrients in soils that grow Riesling because you grow a lot of leaves. You don't make great wine out of leaves. You make it out of fruit. Yeah. And in order to get good quality fruit for Riesling, you've really got to have great drainage and poor soils. This wine is so unusual in one respect because my first thought was, well, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be like Mosel or Rheingau? It's neither. It's like neither of the two popular districts in Germany. In fact, it's more like the Pfalz, which is becoming really popular now. It's got that minerality to the aroma.
All right, I'm
steely.
I'm throwing a geek alert.
All right, minerality, steeliness. It's not.
No, but
the florals are not there.
Okay.
And it will. This wine will age for 6 to 10 years, and then it will be magnificent.
Really?
Nobody ages recently. We do.
Yeah,
well,
we
Dan,
have,
lay it down, Burger. That's what I call them.
we drink 10-year-old Rieslings all the time. They're fabulous.
Okay, talk about this one.
Well, this one has got wonderful personality, but the personality.
I got
right
a lot now, of pear in the nose.
It's pear and maybe a little touch of kiwi almost, but it's not wildly floral, and it doesn't have the honeyed component that you get out of some regions of Germany. So instead, what you're getting is this minerality, which is going to hold the wine tight for a couple of years, and then when it finally gets opened in maybe 3 years, it will explode. It will give you more aromatics than we're ever here now. You can't even see them. I can't see them, but I just know that the grape gives you that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Riesling ages into – it morphs. And you can't see it from here, so there's no way to be able to know it except through experience. And we have some older bottlings, and sure enough, there it emerges. You know, the classic Riesling character after a few years. So it is really tightly wound at first, and would benefit from really years of cellaring.
Wow.
One of the reasons that I love Riesling is because it retains the tremendous flavors for years and years.
Renee, has Paradise Ridge done Riesling?
No, we have not.
All right. Give me your thoughts, though, on this.
I really like this wine. I like a lot of white wines, but this has wonderful floralness and mineralness.
The finish is
amazing. And there's a lot of white wines that you can't age, and Riesling's one that you can, and it's something that you can cellar and taste in 3 or 5 years, and will even be better or different. And that's one of the wonderful things about wine is
it's
ever changing.
Exactly.
And that's why
he became
we
Dan,
want people
Dan
to buy a bunch
Burger,
of the wine. Yeah. And you got to taste it every year to see how.
What
it
year is this?
2017. So it's a baby. And I have some 2018 on the table. In grapes.
In the grapes. Jeff, talk about the grape cake.
Yeah, so I.
It's not really a cake, but it's in a cake pan, a cake box, and it looks – it's just a bunch of cool-looking grapes.
Yeah, so I was driving around today doing some sampling. I thought, you know what? We're tasting these wines. Why don't we taste where they came from? And one of the things that I think is really interesting about wine in general and Sauvignon Blanc and Riesling is that we only have the one ingredient. So we have Sauvignon Blancs on the table, Sauvignon Blanc grapes, and that's all we use for making Sauvignon Blanc. There's no other ingredient. So you really have to become the master of it.
And what also, are these?
Which ones, Steve?
The purple ones.
Okay,
here,
so we have three. We have Cab, which are the little tiny babies.
Okay.
And then we have St. Macaire, which is the rarest of Bordeaux varieties, which we have planted.
Oh,
and then
delicious.
Malbec, which I love. And then, of course, Riesling. And this is the classic color of Riesling.
Mike,
it's dark.
Did you get a shot of this? Yes, he did. Of course he did.
And you can, if you taste the Riesling and the Sauvignon Blanc, you can actually taste some of the same flavors that you have in the wine.
And the very green ones are, again?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Wow.
So, the reason that they're green again is because we don't expose them to the sun, and that creates these flavor bombs. And I watched Dan's face when he tasted it. He just lit up because there's so much flavor in those things.
Oh, those are amazing, man. Do I get to take those home? You can have the cake pan.
Just make sure I get the cake pan back.
Okay, no problem. Oh, man, that's so cool. Mike is putting up a shot of the grape cake on our Facebook page. Check this out because the colors are spectacular. The tastes are spectacular. Now, these are like you just picked today?
Just picked today, yeah. So I was out sampling fields. Actually, the Riesling we picked to process today to make into wine, the rest of them I was sampling from the fields, from our vineyards. And the Sauvignon Blanc we'll pick on Friday. It's just about ready to pick, so it's at the peak of flavor, and I can see that they're getting gobbled up, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
And the red varieties, the Malbec, St. Macaire, and Cab Sauv are several weeks or away from harvest.
Wow, they taste so good right now. I mean, geez.
Yeah, well, I like
you don't sell grape juice. You sell wine.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I forgot. You're listening to the California Grape Juice Show. No, I'm sorry. Oh, man. Oh, I got a seed stuck in my teeth. I don't have any floss in the office. Oh, well. I'll get through it here.
Lots of antioxidants in those seeds, so gobble them
up. Oh, I bet, man. Yeah, very cool. Okay, what are we doing, Dan?
Well, let's one final word about the Riesling. And believe me, there, about 80% of the lore of wine that people hear early in their experience with wine sounds like it doesn't make any sense. When I suggest that you put Riesling away, not every Riesling ages. Wine like this is pretty dry. It has wonderful acidity. It has a great structure. This is the wine that absolutely will age because I've tasted wines like this when they're young, and they do. So you have to basically take it on faith. You can't expect that this wine's going to show very well when it's young. But when it starts,
but it tastes so good right now.
Oh, it does, and you can drink it. But it's better if you age it.
Wow.
Last week we opened up a 2002. That was a
Riesling. A Riesling.
Riesling from Michigan, your state.
Yeah.
The wine was astounding.
Really?
Unbelievable. And, you know, it's only, you know, it's what is it, 15 years old, 16 years old at the most, and 16 years is barely enough for some of these wines. So just
unbelievable.
I had a question. Can you mentioned dry Riesling. Mm-hmm. Is there another kind of Riesling? Or?
There's a lot of Riesling that are too sweet for us, and we just don't go there.
I agree.
I mean, some of the best wines in the world are sweet Rieslings, and they are really interesting. They're fascinating wines.
Really?
But they sell
are they
for so much
Germany?
More. They're from Germany, and a half bottle will cost you $300 or $400, a half bottle.
For a sweet Riesling?
For a sweet Riesling.
Oh, get out of here.
But when you smell and taste that stuff, you know why they're expensive.
Really?
They are astounding
and your pancreas is going to get up on its haunches and walk out on you.
But it's a Riesling grape, and a sweet Riesling's picked later than a dry Riesling? Or?
Well, sometimes yes, but the secret to great dry and sweet Riesling is the acid. Whether it's sweet or dry, if you don't have the acid, the wine's not going to be there.
Well, I had a lot of acid in college, but that's a whole nother story. Okay, so before we continue, I want to talk about the big party tomorrow night. They're calling it the best party ever. It's at Paradise Ridge, rising from the ashes. It kicks off the Sonoma County Wine Auction weekend. And Renee Bick is here from Paradise Ridge. We've got Mike. Will you do your thing again and explain for people what they need to do? Because you can get in for free.
Yeah, for those impacted by the October fires, and again,
in any way,
in right? any way, it's yeah. it's a loose definition. Shoot an email to win at sonomawine.com. Tell them you want to go. Let them know how to reach you, and they'll get back to you real quick and get you all squared away.
Yeah, we're talking up to 50.
Up to 50, yeah. A pair of tickets up to 50.
Meaning 25 people for a pair? No,
50 people with a pair for 100 tickets total.
Wow. Very cool. Thanks to Michael Haney and all the folks at the Sonoma County Vintners. And, of course, Renee Bick from Paradise Ridge. We'll all be there tomorrow. It's going to be a great event. Wonderful music from my hometown of Detroit, and great food and everything else. And you can see, kind of what happened at Paradise Ridge during the fires. And it is, Renee, in the amphitheater, which is...
Yeah, it's a little off to the... We have a, for lack of a better word, an overflow parking lot.
Right.
And at the end of that, my dad created an amphitheater, originally... for some of the Transcendence Theater performances.
Exactly, yeah.
And we had a couple of those there, and we wanted to be used to raise money, and that's what this event does. It's a huge fundraiser to support a lot of nonprofits in Sonoma County, literacy, and then the special for this year is
the fire.
Help victims of the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Been affected by the fire.
It's going to be cool. listen to Mike DeWall. Do your thing. Win at sonomawine.com. Okay. Just send an email, folks. And you could join us all tomorrow night at the beautiful Paradise Ridge, the greatest views in Santa Rosa, California. All right, what are we doing, Dan?
We got Pinot Noir here, and this is really a very beautiful example of how Sonoma County can produce what I consider to be you can make both styles here. You can make Côte de Beaune, Côte de Nuit, the two styles of Burgundy. So the Côte de Beaune tend to be lighter, more elegant. This is the elegant style. It's precise. It's perfectly balanced. It has great acidity. It's got the nice dried cherry mid-palate. It's got a lot of personality in the finish. It's still too young to drink. It's a 16, but... Well, I'll tell you what, since the cork's out of it, it's not going to go anywhere tonight. It's going straight to my tummy. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you and Julianne are going to...
we're going to C-Type Bistro.
The C-Type Bistro, as you do every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Jeff, talk about this one.
Well, I love it. I love the style of Pinot Noir. It's not bombastic. It's polished. It doesn't try to overstate and over-extract.
This is smooth. It doesn't hit you in the face.
Yeah, that's really a beautiful effort in that regard, and it's got that dry cherry violet note. So good job on this one. Really nice. Yeah,
Dan likes to, our winemaker likes.
Oh,
to
this is yours. I'm sorry.
Jeff's. I appreciate Jeff's comments.
Nice.
Renee,
this is our 2016 estate Pinot Noir.
That's lovely.
Dan likes to pick our grapes when they're just ripe enough.
We're not talking about Dan Berger.
Not Dan Berger.
No, your wine.
He might want to pick the grapes. It looks like he loves grapes as well as wine. He likes to pick the grapes when they're just ripe enough. So this Pinot's a 13.4%, and one of the things that people might have noticed in Pinot's is they're getting high in alcohol. They're getting into the 14s and 15s.
Of
and
course.
Highly
and
extracted.
I don't want to go there.
A lot of alcohol. And our style's a little bit more of like to complement food to complement the wine. And you could have a couple glasses of wine and still,
and it's not
going to
knock you out. Yeah. Dan? So, I just love this.
The personality of this wine is really what carries it for right now. It's still pretty young. I would give it another 2 to 3 years before I'd start to open them. But I think it'll last a little bit longer than that. But I'm not a big fan of aging Pinot Noir that has this kind of fruit. This is such an interesting wine because it's got such explosion of fruit in the mid-palate.
Yeah.
And the aftertaste is so succulent with good acidity anyway. So, why miss all that? Just don't age it too long.
Okay, so you're not going to lay this down for 20 years.
No, I've done that. I tried my hand at aging Pinot Noirs.
The cellar's all full of Riesling.
It didn't work. Yeah, I drank more. The aging stuff is Riesling.
Wow. No, that's delicious.
That's really good wine.
Yours is, you need some more?
Yeah.
You're empty.
Why not?
You got a hole in that thing.
What the hell? What the hell? It's California Wine Country. Go to calwinecountry.com or anywhere that great podcasts are available. And you can hear every episode after they air at calwinecountry.com or anywhere else. You know, you got all the other places where podcasts happen. And thanks to Chris DiMatteo in Los Angeles, our Los Angeles producer. And he makes it all happen. And thanks, Chris. Okay, what are we doing?
I don't know.
There's more wine.
There's more wine.
Really?
There's Jeff.
Okay.
Go for it.
There's wine? It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottled Barn. Dan Berger, my co-host today. Our guest is Jeff Hinchliff, longtime winemaker at Hannah, and Renee Bick from Paradise Ridge. Quickly, Renee.
Yes.
Run down on everything that's going to be happening.
Over the weekend.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Well, you know, people are going to arrive. They're going to be greeted.
Well, I would
champagne.
Assume they would.
That's the first step. You want to run through it. And basically, there'll be food stations. There'll be wine stations. There's going to be a big band playing.
From Detroit, my hometown.
And
great food, too.
And great food and wonderful views and supporting a great cause and supporting nonprofits and people affected by the fires and a lot of different nonprofits. So it should be a spectacular evening, and I'm biased from the location of the amphitheater, but every time we've had an event there, which has only been less than like 7 times, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be up there for the sunset. You're in between sculptures. There's a stage there. It just feels like you're just on top of the world in the middle of wine
country.
As
I keep saying, it's the greatest vistas, the greatest views of anywhere in Santa Rosa, looking out over everything.
I don't know. Yes, it is. So it should be. It's going to be a great evening. Looking forward to having you.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And we're honored to be part of the auction and raising this money. And
right on.
And I think it's fitting that I think the theme's revival. And that's what we're doing, and that's what the county's doing. And, you know, we want to just turn the corner and forget about the past. Not forget about the past.
Yeah.
That's not what we want to be known for.
Yeah, exactly. What are we tasting here, Dan?
This is 2015 Malbec that
from Hannah
has made with fruit from Alexander Valley. And Malbec has been sort of kicked around the block by too many people. This is really a very sophisticated wine. Use the word polished for Rene's Pinot. This is polished, if I ever tasted it. There's no rustic character in this wine. It's really pure fruit. It's got blueberries, a little bit of chocolate. But the chocolate component here is just the chocolate, not the smoke.
I'm getting the chocolate.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Especially in the mid palate and aftertaste.
Yes, sir. This is a very sophisticated wine.
Jeff?
Well, I fell in love with Malbec up at our Bismarck Ranch, which we mentioned earlier. And we decided that, you know, in exploring, this is from our estate in Alexander Valley, exploring the Bordeaux box, let's look at cultivars that aren't commonly planted here. And if you look at the number of acres of Malbec that are planted in Sonoma County, it's tiny. It's absolutely tiny. And so there's very little experience here. And you've got Argentina with huge amounts of Malbec. And I discovered an interesting thing. I went down there to learn about Malbec, and everybody gave me a different secret for making killer Malbec.
Really?
It was cool fermentation. It was the Luyan de Cuyo. That's a spot down there. It's any number of different techniques. But what I realized was there is no secret. Everybody had a different one. Malbec is easy to make, not easy to grow.
I like that.
But not easy to grow, but relatively easy to make. It's forgiving.
I just got the 30-second from my producer, Mike DeWald. Guys, Renee Bick, tomorrow night, Paradise Ridge. We'll see you there.
Yes.
Longtime winemaker at Hannah Wines, Jeff Hinchliffe, and, of course, Dan Berger. We got to go. Well, have a great night.